Okay, our next presentation has to do with IP high-tech delivery advances. Our speaker is Mr. Kevin Webb. He's the founder and general manager of sales and distribution office for Tyline Technologies, located in Indianapolis, Indiana, serving the U.S., Canada, Mexico, South and Central America. Tyline Technology manufactures the Commander G3 and IMX G3, Abridge IT, and the G5 line of digital audio codecs. Mr. Webb has over 33 years of broadcast industry experience, both on the air and TV and radio, as well as radio programming, engineering, and operations, including Indianapolis and New Orleans.
Good morning, everybody. By the way, I love the Madison show because the convention is so well organized, so very well attended. A lot of people here too. You know, it's something I never get tired of sharing, the education of. Of course, some of this will have to do with our product, but most of this is going to be an educational thing, because when I was on the other side of the table, so to speak, and I saw equipment that I liked. In fact, I remember a specific AM processor was actually built for shortwave, and it solved all my needs. I told other people about it, and they said, "Well, do you get a kickback from these people?" I said, "No. I mean, you know, I've got the same problems you have, and I wanted to share this with you." So sometimes I would get rather zealous in sharing information because, you know, when we help everybody, when we help each other, we lift everybody's boat, and that's what I hope to do today. And as a matter of fact, I was just in New York City at the AES show. You know, guys who really know their audio and surprisingly knew a lot about IP, but they didn't know about getting IP out of the studio because they're very much into the studio. And so the presentation was very well received, but what was interesting is I was on there with five other people who are my competitors. So I didn't know, you know, if we were going to be throwing things at each other, spitballs or what have you, but it actually turned out to be very, very nice. And this presentation actually came from the notes of one of the moderators. He didn't know anything about IP audio himself, and he just sent me some questions. And it was late at night, literally the night before the presentation, and I thought, you know, I can't just slash, you know, my presentation in 10 minutes. I need to redo this. So basically what I did is I went to the basics, what IP audio is all about. And the most important thing is explaining what it comes, coming from somebody that doesn't know or doesn't know much about IP audio. You may know a lot about it already, but I think, at least I hope, we're going to impart some new information here. And this is going to be as strictly educational as possible, because I think that's going to do the most good. And what I did is I took his, name of the presentation was IP Audio, out of the studio, connecting anywhere. And, okay, first I got to say, who all here has had remotes that went perfectly every single time? Raise your hands. One guy, and he's chuckling, so I don't think he's really telling the truth. I've been there. There was a remote where I bought a certain piece of equipment. It was red, and then I bought another piece of equipment. And I don't mean anything negative by saying this, but I bought their next new piece of equipment. And I told the owner, I think we need to make this investment. He said, no, you're the expert. I'm paying you to tell me what to do. I've been told that No, you tell me. You're the expert. Yes, no. Do we make the $15,000 investment? And I see some smiles out here because, once again, this is something that you've faced, you know, every year, every week, every month, you know. And so we got the new equipment in, we hooked it up, and it didn't quite live up to the expectations. And it wasn't just, it's 95% there. It was like, no, it didn't connect on his show. His show was the first broadcast. Yeah, and it was a three-hour show out in the middle of nowhere, and as God is my witness, I was just thinking, what am I going to do? This is in the middle of the broadcast. It's renegotiating, retraining, dropping the connection. You know, he's smiling. He's got his other people on the air with him, and he's just glaring over at me, and I know exactly what he's thinking. And come Monday morning, he just very low leaned over to me in just very low voice said, "I was not impressed." And I wish he'd yelled at me, you know, because it just didn't go that well. So the one thing that that you want to do is do research all the time. But first, what we're going to talk about is audio over IP, which at that presentation, I said, well, you think that's easy, right? You just plug in Cat5, LAN, FireWire, right? We all know that's quite a bit different. Getting out of the studio, it's a completely different story. So once again, the name of the presentation, IP audio, out of the studio, connecting anywhere. And this is assuming broadcast quality IP audio, more on pods and ISDN later. And I'm going to go through this rather quickly because there's a lot of detail. This will be posted online, so if you'd like to read this in detail, it will be available. But I want to just touch on the important points, so I'm going to gloss over a few things. The first question is, how universal is IP? Well, just real quick, there's the way you connect over... actually, let me ask something. I assume that everybody has some familiarity with IP. The fact that, of course, you've got the internet connection. We're going to go into just a little bit of detail real quick in that the connection elements are universal, comprising TCP and UDP. TCP is used for the connection itself. UDP is used for audio transport. If there are any IT people, you're going to say, well, no. I'm not opening my ports to UDP because, you know, that's anathema. That is like, you know, you hold up the sign of the cross, you throw holy water, choose the religion of your choice. But actually, UDP audio transport is used for lossy networks such as wireless or most remote applications. And TCP, my gosh, if you've got TCP, that is, if you've got a wired controlled network, you've got it made because all you have to do is plug it in. That's easy. Anybody and their brother can do it, and that's why you see a lot of IP codecs coming out. The key is getting one that's going to supply your needs for remote broadcast because we will also then be able to supply your STL applications. Doing raw audio, which we do, linear uncompressed audio for STL, you know, we did that in literally a couple of weeks. That was 5, 6, 7 years ago. And we actually started that for NBC Olympics, but that's a whole other story. Now, are there incompatible flavors? Simply said, yes. And we all kind of chuckled on the panel because we all have our own proprietary ways of connecting. But the good news is, and we utilize different proprietary algorithms, of course. I believe, and I've seen from customer feedback, that ours is truly a very superior product because we tried MP3 at first, thinking we'll just throw MP3 together so we can get it out to the market. And we realized it was horrible. It's very brittle. It's a very poor connection. Then we tried G722, G.711, even worse. And to our surprise, we realized our proprietary music algorithm was actually superior, and we tried other algorithms. Another one that I won't name, it's a very famous algorithm that you would recommend, that you would, not only would you recommend, but you would recognize. And we introduced 1% loss, 1 out of 100 packets. And you could hear the audio dropouts very consistently. So then we tried ours, and to our surprise, we realized there really was no audio degradation at all at 1% loss. So we introduced 5%, and the other was completely unusable at that point. It was before with the 1%, but it was still usable, and we increased it to 10%, and with 33% forward error correction, to be, you know, completely honest here. And it was still completely not only usable, but there was no audio dropout whatsoever. If any of you would like an example of that audio, please email me. And my contact information is on the website, so you can see that on tyline.com. And it's really stunning how well it worked. Now, are there standards? That's important because there are standards. SIP, which is Session Initiated Protocol, allows other audio manufacturers to connect, audio IP manufacturers to connect to each other. Now, you need to set it up just like you would ISDN with another brand. Like if you're connecting from a blank brand to a blank brand, you need to make sure it's MP layer 2, that it's 64K sample rate, etc., mono, bonded mono, bonded stereo, etc. Same thing with SIP, but it allows you to connect Universal Signaling Protocol for Universal Connectivity. I think that's redundant, but anyway, connectivity over IP. But basically it says, yes, you can connect it other to person. So that protects your investment, whether it's us, quite frankly, or another brand. If you buy another brand, know that you can connect to a tie line. If you buy a tie line, know that you can connect to another brand. This is what you want to look for. This is the EBU /ACIP compatible logo, and that means that brand can connect. We participated in the European Broadcast Union's interoperability over IP plug fest. We literally got together. Well, can I connect to you? Can you connect to me? Cool. Okay, let's try it on, you know, AACLD. Great, we can connect. And we just test it out to actually physically in-person connect, and we buy each other a pint of beer and, you know, go on our way. But it's a plug fest, you know? And this is something that we participated in, and we're very, very privileged to be a part of this. We were invited with these other manufacturers to set the worldwide standard. We actually led this. We had all the other manufacturers at our booth at the NAB. This was 2 NABs ago. How time flies. And we said, we're going to give you our people, our time, our expertise. We've already done this. We've got this in here. It's not just proto. It's not prototype. It's working in our codec. That was 2.5 years ago now. And we said, we'll give this to you because it's going to lift up all of our boats. Yes, it's going to help us, but it's going to help you more than you realize, because if you don't become a part of it, you're going to look like the outsider. You're going to look like the fool. And unfortunately, there are 2 major brands that still haven't come to the table 100%, which is very surprising. Next one, what IP do you use? Once again, we're going to narrow this down to broadcast. You can use wired IP, standalone DSL at the studio, or standalone business class cable. You can use a T1 or T3, but only if quality of service bandwidth is set aside for the tie line. That's true with any brand. It's not a matter of can we punch through the firewall. It's do you have uninterrupted data that's not going to get shoved aside, elbowed aside when you send a large file? And don't fool yourself, even if you've only got 10 computers, and later in the evening when you've got your sports remotes and, not too many people are going to be using that. You got Windows updates, antivirus. Somebody might be downloading a CD or a DVD, watching or streaming video or something like that. So that definitely is a concern that you need to think about. And for that reason, you must use wired IP. Wireless ISP is not recommended. Very rarely will that work. In the field, I have to chuckle because this is our most often asked question. Somebody gets some tie lines, they have some connection issues, and we always go back to the foundation. It's just like grounding at the transmitter site. You have a lot of lightning strikes, you don't have a good ground system. You need to get a universal ground system that is done correctly, and all of a sudden your problems pretty much disappear. You must set up the foundation. I'm going to go backwards. You must set up the foundation back at the studio. If you don't have that, it's a non-starter for any brand. Then in the field, if you can use wired IP or hopefully business class cable, that's fantastic. You can use wireless 3G, 4G, and WiMAX. They're kind of the same. Using Verizon, Sprint, AT&T, and Alltel, we have extremely good success using Verizon, quite frankly. Now, they've got what's called EVDO Rev-A for Verizon, Sprint, and Alltel, and they're going into some higher services in the next 6 months to a year. We're going to see speeds that'll blow you away. AT&T has HSDPA and higher. Real quickly, I'm going to touch on this. Canada, and I think I've got this in a slide later on, Canada rolled out service. Let me back up. What we've got right now, when you access high speed on your BlackBerry, that's a different service than if you tether it with your computer. So we're going to talk about tethering the computer. You have an upload speed of about 60 to 120 kilobits. But how is that measured? Like the presentation before, you've got standards. You connect, these speakers are 8 ohms or 4 ohms, but let's assume 8 ohms into an amplifier that is measured to put out 120 watts, 8 ohms RMS. Not peak-to-peak, not burst. Data is not, there are no standards in data, which drives us nuts, because people will get on their computer and say, well, according to speedtest.net, I've got 250 kilobits upload, and your tie line isn't connecting worth anything. Well, first of all, that's your computer. Second of all, that is an average over, you know, if you've ever done a speed test, it's like 10 or 15 seconds. And third, what is that measured on? Where's the baseline? Where's the minimum? Like if you had, I should have put a slide up here. Imagine if you've got an oscilloscope reading, and it's almost like if you were to look at positive and negative modulation, but it's much more worse than that because you've got a waveform of this much, and you've got data that will peak up to 250 kilobits. But what's the lowest point? You need to be under that lowest cloud, so to speak, flying under that lowest cloud, because if the lowest amount of data that goes through is 40 kilobits, then you have to assume you've only got 32 kilobits. 20 kilobits is needed for the session data, which is to connect over the connection, so then you're left with a tiny amount of data to go through unimpeded without dropouts, because the audio, everybody wants least delay, you want real-time audio as close as possible, and that's where you need to be careful. That's where you need to be thinking about what is going on here. I'm getting into a little bit too much detail at the moment, and I'm going to have to really go past some slides. And that brings me to Wi-Fi, because that, I tell you what, is our number one tech support question, problem, frustration, because, well, why can't I just connect to Wi-Fi? And pardon me again, but I'm going to say, compared to another brand, they use this, they use wireless, and also Wi-Fi to an extent, as the panacea that's going to solve all your problems. It isn't, because you need POTS, you need ISDN. ISDN is still the best way to get from point A to point B, period. There is no two ways of getting around that. Wi-Fi is the absolute worst way you can possibly go unless you control it, because what you need to do is you need to look at the original connection source. You go to a Starbucks. Is that connected to a DSL? How small is that upload speed? Because the upload speed is what you need to be thinking about. How many people have access to it? Oh, it looks good now. I tested it 2 hours ago, and half an hour into the broadcast, it craps out on me, and this is a really important remote, and the general manager and the owner standing right next to me, and they're glaring at me, and everything just went to heck. It's because you assumed that that connection 45 minutes ago is good when you go into the broadcast, and that's why you need to be careful. So we play down Wi-Fi. It's doable if you control it, but we're owned by two broadcast engineers. They're the guys who design it. I mean, literally, I've seen Rod with his computer. He's got the CAD, you know, all the neat toys we've got coming out with pretty soon, and I see that these guys are very conservative. Our biggest fault, actually, is we don't toot our own horn. You see the other products, claims and products and stuff that's coming out way before it's really ready. You've seen some ads from us, but we tell dealers it's not going to be ready until whenever. So we're very honest about that. So keep in mind, Wi-Fi, be very, very careful. You can do it, but in this instance, he's using a local Wi-Fi. He knows what's going on. Audio over IP for remotes. This is, by the way, an exclusive with us, a little bit of a product mention here. We're the only manufacturer in the world to have a dedicated 3G module. We started from the basis of a POTS connection, my experience. That's not good enough. And by the way, I was so soured on POTS that I said, no. Not only no, but hell no. Pardon my language. I'm never doing POTS again. And I saw these guys at the NAB 11 years ago, and I said, listen, what's different about you guys thinking, oh, well, you know, we're a better product? And they said, well, we redesigned the POTS modem, tore it down, rebuilt it from scratch to be a POTS codec modem specific to broadcast. And I was 180 degrees. I'm like, really? Well, tell me more. It'll automatically reconnect. It'll stay connected. It'll do stuff a modem doesn't want to do, because the guy said that's not good enough. We see what's out there, but we know we can do better. And the same thing here. This is a broadcast-specific product. It plugs into the unit. You give it to the talent, and you can make it so simple. Literally, it can connect to the Verizon network, then connect over IP1, reset inputs 1 and 2 to be a high-gain mic, turn channels 1 and 2 off, because your automation system is going to turn those channels on remotely when it's time for the broadcast. turn the mics off going into the breaks, turn them back on coming out of the breaks, etc. We've been there, you know, and that's something we look at. And that's what this slide is about, the fact it is the only one. I'm really frustrated we didn't win an award for that, but I don't think people got it. I don't think they understood, because a laptop air card, you got pins that can break, you've got other issues, they can go lost or stolen, or oops, I didn't bring it. So many different problems. And this lady actually just gets on her scooter, she hits a button, just one single button, she's on the air. She doesn't know remotes, she doesn't know equipment, she doesn't have to. She talks into her mic, she's a reporter, she knows what she's doing. And we did a test internationally and also here in the U.S. on WiMAX. My gosh, WiMAX, I was beginning to tell you about Rogers. WiMAX has the promise of what Rogers just rolled out 2 weeks ago. We thought it was going to be more blather from another carrier, like, well, we're going to have whatever. Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. It actually came out, 21 megabits download. 21 megabits download wireless and 4 to 6 megabits upload. When we get a 48 or 64 kilobit connection, we're happy. We're pleased. We're telling the customer, God bless you. You know, could you take a picture of that? That's beautiful. 48 kilobits is what you expect on a regular basis. 64 bonus, 128 kilobits, I've heard of that. You know, it happens, but it's pretty rare for the broadcast use. And, one other thing, too. Kent Kramer from the Tom Joyner Morning Show, a huge fan of us because he used us in Los Angeles. He would go down to Mexico, and we'd work anywhere. He was just blown away by how solid it was. And he said, is this wireless thing network ready, meaning the Tom Joyner Morning Show, multiple affiliates? And I said, not really. It's good for remote broadcast, don't get me wrong. But this is true with every brand. It's not just us. You've got a super important connection like that, you got to have backups, and that's what we have. We also have a fail-safe software that will give you backup, just in case. So in the field, we've got a proprietary software suite. It's kind of a clunky name, but there's a lot more to it than just the name, of course. It's got an auto-jitter adapt feature. It basically, and the proprietary algorithm, which is very key for lossy networks. And I say that objectively. It is very well suited for that. We can connect over B-GAN satellites at 32 kilobits. And I'm going to gloss over this real quick. 32 kilobits, a lot cheaper. $2.90 a minute. That's sort of doable. That's, $174 an hour. If you must be on the air and you're in the middle of nowhere and you can get on the air with B-GAN with this little terminal right here. Here's a close-up of it. You would have seen my ugly mug, but I had to cut that off. And as a matter of fact, Fox News used that because they did the pool audio for a press conference in Tanzania. There was no other way to connect. And they were providing audio for ABC, AP, CBS, etc. And they used the tie line, and they were so pleased that they allowed us to do this story. They actually provided the information. They couldn't do a direct endorsement, but it was very, very rare for them to do this. Next, where is IP an appropriate technology and where is it not? Always know the source of the IP traffic to answer that question, because it's sort of like asking how long is a piece of string in a way. It depends on your needs. But if you know the source, you're okay. So once again, wireless, good signal. Bet there's a lot of RF guys in here, and you know that when you've got 5 bars of signal strength on your phone, I can't remember if that's minus 74 or 68 dB, but if I'm not mistaken, I looked it up, and it's, correct me if I'm wrong, 1/1,000,000 of a watt. And I don't know how it works. I don't understand that it works, but I know that it does. And to be honest, when I'm setting this up for conventions and stuff, I see it connect, and I'm like, it actually worked again. It actually connected. It just amazes me every day. I'm sorry, I got into radio in 77, and you know, Martys were the luxury back then. It's like, you got a Marty, you know? Oh, you could just turn it on and broadcast, but it was one way, 7 kilohertz, line of sight, you know, the noise floor and everything. Once again, even when it comes to 3G or 4G or WiMAX, how many people are at the event? Larger crowds, more congested traffic, less reliable connections, more instability. WiMAX and 4G, I think for the first time we're going to see a broadcasting savior come about, and that's when it will be network ready and you will be able to have much more reliable connections. So wireless, very promising. Rogers, I mentioned. AT&T, hopefully they'll follow suit. Sprint has rolled out WiMAX very carefully in smaller markets. They don't want to. They all learned, they overpromised and underbuilt severely. And I think the engineers tried to tell them, but, you know, marketing people, what are you going to do? They want to get it out there. So always know the source of the IP traffic. That's the most important thing. Whether you're using us or another brand, I'm here to help in that regard, because if you know what foundation you're dealing with, then you know to move forward and how to move forward. And this is detail. Go ahead and take a look at it on the website if you would. Well, actually, this is once again talking about standalone DSL or business class cable. It can rival ISDN in audio quality. So, you know, you can use it for wireless, you can use it for point to point, or even studio to transmitter link. I should say wired or wireless. Next question, what are the problems with quality of service and how do you address them? That's a real good question. Have to have quality of service back at the studio or a standalone business class cable or DSL. End of discussion. In the field, though, we've got our quality of service algorithm suite that will take care of a lot of the changing conditions. Take a look at the website for more information, but here's an example. I was in Fox News. It was on the 15th floor, deep inside a building in New York City. Now, they've got massive signal. I mean, without an antenna, we had a 9. Without an antenna, there was a 9. I've never seen that before. But they've got a lot of repeaters, so a lot of multipath. And so they've got a unique problem. And if you look at, this is a connection details on the screen. It shows packet loss, the times the buffer went empty, which is catastrophic. The times the packets came late to the party, literally the train has left the station, also catastrophic, and the times that it had to forward error correct. I turned off forward error correction, but it tells you within the last 60 seconds, the last 10 minutes, and then there's a third line down here, the total. Our codec will look at this information, and based on the setting, it will adjust the buffer in milliseconds. Now, 540 may seem like a lot, that's half a second. But we're talking about an impossible connection. There shouldn't have been audio. There shouldn't have been a connection. We're talking about 1 out of 3 to 1 out of 4 packets lost. That's significant. But it still stayed connected, and it even brought it down to a reasonably low level. We were listening, and the guy said, this isn't bad. There's a glitch now and then, but this is arable. And this is Fox News, you know, where they've got, what is it, 300, 400, 600 affiliates or more? Actually, I think it's quite a bit more. They were the only ones that hadn't laid off. In fact, they're hiring, where all the other networks are laying off. So, you know, they've got a very good organization. I have to speak well of them. And that isn't a political statement. It just has to do with the organization, the engineering, the management, and everything behind the scenes. They're a very happy bunch of campers. Compatibility, we talked about that, so I'm going to gloss over that. The fact that we can connect. We're willing and ready to assist at our cost to share the SIP technology with other manufacturers. We've done that from the beginning. We still beg them and say, listen, this is going to help you. Yes, it'll help us, but don't look at that. That's not what it's about. And I think they're just a little bit too, I don't know, suspicious. I don't know. I don't understand it. Here's all the brands we can connect to. Once again, that's on the website. Next one, are we designed for fixed or mobile outside locations? We are for both. In fact, this is, we were used for NBC. I took this. I cannot use this in ads, but this is something that we were used for the NBC Olympics. We were connected from Englewood Cliffs, New Jersey, over to Torino, Italy by IP. He's remotely controlling the audio in Italy, remotely. And that saved NBC $250,000 in production costs on that one event. In China, when they did it again, it was estimated that it saved them around $6 to $8 million in production costs. They didn't have to wire up a truck, put it on a ship, have people in country. They did everything remotely, and we were the only codec in the world, they said, that comes even close to what they were needing. But you can use it as a primary STL. It is being done all over the world. Of course, it can be used remotely because that's our primary focus. That's how we got started. That's how we became famous. IP versus IT. Negotiating firewalls and IT departments. Of course, you would ask, problems? What IT problems with a firewall? And then laughter is supposed to ensue. And then I would pause and let the laughter continue. We'll chuckle internally at that because what we've got, though, is a new technology. We've had it for about 2 years, but we're just releasing it in the G5 codecs. It allows you to see and connect through other firewalls. It eliminates the need to negotiate with IT people. Leave them alone. Buy them a case of Monster or Mountain Dew. Make them happy, you know? You might need them, you know, later on, but you don't need it for this. It'll show the other Tiline codecs status, showing it available or not available. Just makes it easy for the talent, both in the studio and the field. So those are the main questions, and I took the exact word-for-word notes that the moderator had, and I thought I was kind of being lazy in doing this, and I apologized to him publicly during the presentation. I said, I thought these were the perfect questions. Now, I'm going to gloss through the rest real quick. This is where we became famous because this sector will stay connected for so long. Originally, and this is when I started the office with my own money, I took my life savings. I quit a job for which I couldn't be fired for. We were moving a studio the day that I left. I gave them 2 weeks' notice. And I said, you need to help, you need help with this studio move. I'm here to help you. And he was just really upset, and he took it personally. I said, I'm going to give you my best effort. I'll be there for you. And he said, no, just head out the door. And I thought, okay, sure, bonus. I'm out of here. I did what I thought was right. And I started this in a small office myself, and a guy called me up wanting to use this for a DSL, for an STL over a phone line. And I said, I'd love to make the sale. And I was saying, no, really, I'd like to make the sale. But I couldn't in good conscience because the truth always comes out. And I always started with the philosophy that, as Pollyanna as it sounds, if you do the right thing, the money will follow. The money is not the important part. It's doing the right thing. And I stand here with a clear conscience because I turned that guy away, but it actually turned out later on that people were using us for STLs. To our surprise, like staying connected for 2 or 3 months. Channel 59, over 9 years. I think in December it's going to be 10 years. I need to give them a call. It's been so long since I've talked to them. CKUA in Edmonton, that actually needs to be updated. They've been on there for over 4 years, but you get the idea. We connect to multiple brands on ISDN as well. We're the only codec that I know of that can do 20 kilohertz stereo over a single B channel. Saves you on long distance. And Bridget, well, she's very cute, but that's actually the Bridget. that's a new IP-only codec that we're coming out with. That's going to solve a lot of questions and a lot of needs. SD card reader on the front that will play audio if you lose the connection, which is very nice. Professional connectors on the back. 12-volt DC input. You've got a control screen, navigation control. You've got a keypad. The full works, so you don't have to mess with a computer interface. But you do have an interface that is served up from this without having to have, like, our toolbox software that you have to have right now. You have to have it resident on the computer. This one will serve up from any web browser, and so you can be anywhere in the world and connect to it, remotely control this one and the other one, change the settings, update it. It'll phone home. You can see all the other connections on the screen there. You can see who else and what else is available. You'll see a list of other codecs. These are the different features. I don't want to turn this into a marketing exercise. This is something available on the website, though. It's going to be like a very cheap. You can buy it as an encode only or decode only. We're actually going to release this with all these features included. And, of course, applications, low-cost point-to-point, STL, audio distribution, Muzak to stores, multicasting. It can actually make multiple connections, stereo connections, all at the same time. There's a background view of it. Not a background. backside view of it, and you've got all the different connectors. You can gang them together in the rack to have two, and there's a close-up of that. G5, this is Bridget on steroids. This is an amazing codec. When the guys told me what all they can do, it's just stunning. It can do IP, but it also can do POTS. It can also do ISDN. It'll have the TI server on there, SIP capability, digital, AES, and analog inputs, outputs, simultaneous digital output at the same time, as well as analog. That's true on the Bridget. It'll have our standard algorithms on there, multicasting, transmit or receive, up to 10 unicast connections, each with up to 10 separate connection modes, meaning you can connect 10 codecs at the same time. Double redundant power supply, a USB read-write port over here. It's also got room right here for two hard drives. So there's a lot of expansion. This is something that is going to take us into the next generation. By the way, we went to G5 instead of G4 because the China folks told us, so you don't want these sold in China, huh? And we said, what are you talking about? If the number 4 is included, 4 equals death in our society, and it just won't sell. Yeah, I was amazed. So it was like much bigger than, you know, 13th floor. Is there a 13th floor in this hotel, I wonder? There is? Okay, interesting. Future expansion, 5.1 surround sound. Those are the 6 LEDs there, or 6 discrete channels. And stay tuned for more, the hard drive and all the other stuff. Front and back panel view of that. Traversal server allows you to connect to multiple connections. And look for instructional videos on the website. This helps you understand wireless. This one is instructive on how to set up a static IP at the studio. And then you've also got an overview of the iMix. And I feel sorry for Charlie. They just stuck a camera in his face. He was at a show, and they just started rolling video. And basically an instructional video on the Bridget. This was a great example of a real case use of TiLine. Oops, I forgot to take that out. TiLine in the field. This was a huge event, one of the biggest remotes in the country. And he wanted to back up his ISDN. Marcus said later on that it saved him because there were portions where the ISDN was not working, or I think there was a place where it wasn't available. And 3G was the only thing that got him on the air. Conversely, you could use, if you wanted to have ISDN standing by but not use long distance and have 3G as your primary connection. You can set up a connection manager, very simple to do, with a single button push. It'll connect to the Verizon network. It'll connect to ISDN. Your primary connection goes on the air. That fails and immediately, automatically switches over to standby, to the standby connection, without the talent at the studio or the field doing anything at all. We were there for the inaugural coverage. Look at that. The president was standing there. That would be a neat place to be in history. And you can find us on Facebook and Twitter. Of course, more information on the website. But essentially, it comes down to IP is an incredible tool. But it is a tool with everything else. You still need POTS. You still need ISDN. Quite frankly, our product delivers that. That's why we can talk about that. Other products don't. They've put their eggs in one basket. And from an engineering standpoint, frankly, from my experience, and I know from continuing experience, that's a mistake. You have to have everything available at your fingertips that you can possibly have, and that's what it's really all about. Any questions? I hope there's at least one or two. Okay?
If we're going to be using something like the Bridget or the DSL, any minimum standards for that DSL?
Oh, that's a real good question, yes. Same standard applies in the studio, where if you can get a standalone DSL, that's better. But the minimum upload, just about any DSL has the minimum upload these days. So what you're looking for is 128 kilobits upload. And keep this in mind. When they tell you, they play a liar's game. We paid for 512 kilobits. I did a speed test. And we were only getting 386. And I called the company, and they said, well, you're paying for 512. I said, yeah, and I'm not getting 512. Well, yeah, but you paid for 512. Yes, but I'm not getting 512. Well, yeah, you're getting 386 kilobits. Exactly. I'm not getting 512. They explained the minimum guaranteed is 386, but the peak is 512. Oh, so you're charging me for the dessert even though I may not have it, or you probably won't serve it. So assume that if they say 128 kilobits upload, divide that in that case in half, and then assume a little bit of bandwidth. Very rare you'll see something as low as 128 kilobits. Yeah, and by the way, real quick, the download is always faster, and that's the first number they're going to give you. So what's the speed of this DSL? Oh, it's 1.5 megabits. Now, what's the upload? Because they're never asked that, so just be aware of that. Yes, sir?
ISDN seems to be phasing out.
Yes.
Where do you see it going? The phone companies don't want to deal with it anymore. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's actually a very good question, because I've heard this for 3 years, and in fact, I have seen in Philly, in fact, was one of the markets where there were some locations where ISDN, new ISDN, would not be installed. They do still maintain and support it, and they have to by tariff, in fact, for at least the next 5 to 7 years. There are certain conditions that they have to meet to the FCC and to also some regulatory boards. So I actually don't see ISDN going away for, to be honest, it's still a viable connection for the next 5 years. And I think it's actually going to be around, for the most part, for 10 years. It's not the gloom and doom like other companies say, because, once again, they put their eggs in one basket. You have to look at where somebody's coming from to understand what they're saying and where they're trying to lead you. We're open, we're honest, we're conservative, and I'm talking about from an engineering standpoint. We're conservative in that we're going to give you the best minimum information as far as what DSL and ISDN and stuff like that's going to do. ISDN, you cannot rely on it because it may not be available. It may not be installed when you get there. Real quick story. I was doing the first. Stevie Wonder just bought an IMAX. I can't talk about this in advertising, which drives me nuts. But I was in New York City to help Stevie with his first broadcast because his remote engineer couldn't get there. The station didn't think about buying him a ticket, his broadcast engineer. Stevie does a show every Thursday morning on his station. And I was there about an hour ahead of time, of course, and they had ISDN in the hotel because they have a lot of famous musicians there, and they have it in every suite, which is really strange. But it wouldn't work. Surprise. We couldn't use POTS. And so Stevie was asking, what are we going to do? And we just come out with wireless. And I said, well, let's give this wireless thing a try. And we connected, and it stayed connected, and it did well for like an entire hour until his engineer showed up, because I couldn't go downstairs to deal with the people at the front desk for ISDN. One of the rare hotels you can go to, and you say, can I get 2 B channels? And they say, oh, sure, $250 a day. It's actually part of the menu. So wireless saved the day. He got on the air, 48 kilobits. Audio was excellent. He was unbelievably pleased. The delay was relatively short. It was 125 milliseconds. That's from here to Los Angeles, wireless. And they conversed on the air. They couldn't tell. The people in the studio did not know that he was on was not on ISDN until after the broadcast. So that was very neat.
If you have an Ethernet network set up for transporting audio,
yeah,
it seems like you have a choice between TCP or UDP as your backbone for transporting audio. And what sort of factors would lead you to choose one over the other in that
always
situation?
Always. Oh, actually, no, that's a good question. I was about to say always choose UDP for the audio. But what you have to do, you know what, I just realized we need to put this on the website. What we tell people, even I just hired a new office manager, and within the first couple of days, I told her to explain how a studio needs to be set up for IP. She can't plug in her DVD player at home, but she knows to tell people, open up both ports 9000 and 9002 in both UDP in both directions. And you need to open it up in both directions for obvious reasons, both UDP and TCP, because the transport protocol is on TCP. The audio protocol is on UDP. However, you switch to TCP audio protocol if you're using it for an STL and only if you have a managed controlled network. Like if you have a contract where you have 99.9% uptime. And some of the people only provide 99.9%. They only do 3.5s instead of 5.5s, which is what you normally want, you know, 99.999. But it's still surprisingly good. For people who provide that, there's very, very little downtime. Does that answer your question? Okay. Excellent. Okay.
Okay. We're going to have to wrap it up here. Thank you, Kevin, very much.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you.